But as it's been mentioned a few times this morning, we have just begun our Missions Madness 3-week sermon series. This is Missions Month. For kids, they're doing all five. We're going to do the first 3 weeks focusing on missions. We're going to be talking about our faith promises next week and the following week. And we encourage every person to jump in and to give consistently to missions. We're going to be talking about missions trips. We're going to be talking about things that God's doing. But missions, it's not only across the pond around the world, but it's what we get to do every single day. If you didn't know it, the fact that Pastor Dave or Pastor Kay or Pastor Chris went to school and are pastors, we are all ministers of the gospel. We all share him. In fact, you do a more effective job sharing Jesus by far than we do with your friends. You have the greatest inroad to your job, to your work, to your community, because we might not even be able to get in there. Half of you have to have a key card to get in your building, so we literally could not even get in your building. But you are there every single day. You're ministers. We are all ministers of the gospel. Now this morning, we're going to look at our Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. I love any moment where Jesus, I think, kind of shows a little bit of his humanity, might be a good way to say it. When he kind of, I think, gets just maybe a tad fed up with his disciples, which there was a lot of opportunity to get fed up with his disciples, including, you know, get behind me, Satan, when he's talking to Peter. That, I think you're pretty fed up at the moment. You know, if you're a parent and your kids do some stuff and you're like, get behind me, Satan, that, don't do that. That may not come off well, I'm not sure. But you're pretty fed up at that point. That's not like just getting into it, but you're done. And Jesus had a couple of those moments, and I'm not sure if this exact passage quite goes to the get behind me, Satan sort of a line. But I think he was pretty clear in telling his disciples, I told you so. In fact, as I read the scripture, I just can hear it floating off of his mind over and over and over again. I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. Now, if you are a business owner in the room or you lead people, you have had plenty of opportunities in your life to say, I told you so. Like, this isn't a surprise. You're telling me that you can't work a few hours a day and get everything done or sell a lot or whatever it is. I told you so. This is clear. In fact, I see there's like a whole little group of business owners right over here, some gentlemen. And I've talked to all of them. Why can't people just work? All you have to do is show up on time. That's all you have to do. I will give you money if you just show up on time and maybe have a smile. Like, it's not that difficult. And when they don't, I told you so. And I can just see Jesus in this moment. He has just died on the cross, what we just celebrated. He has just risen from the dead. He showed up to the disciples on the Damascus or the Emmaus Road. He's been there, and all of a sudden, it's right down to the end. This is the last several verses of Luke. This is right before Jesus ascends into heaven, which would have been a pretty cool moment. Just to see Roger all of a sudden ascend up to the sky. Like, that would be a pretty cool thing. And his disciples, they got to see Jesus just rise right up through, up into the clouds to go be where he truly came from, where he belonged in heaven, where we all belong. But if you would you read with me Luke 24, 44 through 53? It says, then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you. Okay, real fast. That's my I told you so. That's the moment. These are the words I spoke to you. I already told you this. I'm going to add in, I told you this, dummy. Let's get it. Sometimes my dad, if you didn't know, he can be very direct. And that's the feeling sometimes. It's like, yes, I've told you this was going to happen. It's like, right here, Jesus, that's it. These are the words that I spoke to you. I told you so. While I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. I told you so. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. That everything that happened, we'll boil it down in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, the Old Testament, everything that was spoken of me, it had to happen. I told you this had to happen. In fact, they should have understood that when Jesus died, we were just on a 3-day vacation. He's coming back. They should have known this. Just like you or I might go away for a few days, they should have got it because he told them. The scripture told them over and over and over again. And finally, when he appears to them, it gets to the moment where it's like, oh, you meant you were actually going to die. You meant the word of God is actually true, and it was actually prophecy, and it was actually meant that you're going to die, and you're going to take the sin of the world upon yourself. What we read in Isaiah this morning, that was going to actually happen. And he's like, I told you so. These are the words I've spoken over and over and over and over again. The law. We get to see the prophets, the Psalms. Throughout the word, we could go on a long time, but Jesus' role as prophet was foretold in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 20. His sufferings were prophesied in Psalms 22 and Isaiah 53. His resurrection was predicted in Psalms 16, 9 through 11 and Isaiah 53, 10 through 11. Over and over, the things that were spoken were brought to life. And finally, the disciples got it when they saw him die. They saw him. They knew he was dead. He was stabbed in his side. Finally, not then they didn't get it, but when he rose again and he was before them and he had the scars from the nails in his hands, all of a sudden, then they could get it. And how many times is that you or me? When we think about what God has called us to do, when we think about missions, we think about it and we're like, that's a good thing to do. I should maybe tell somebody someday. But we miss the importance of our job. We miss the importance of waiting on the Father. We miss the importance of seeing God's love poured out upon our world. Stephen Daveley said, are you following Christ's ambitions for your life or expecting him to help you reach yours? And I think a lot of times in the church, and I can say personally, if I'm being real, a lot of times we lose focus on lining up with God's ambitions for our life, God's ambitions, God's call, God's plan. And instead we're like, Lord, you pour out blessing. Lord, you do such cool things. God, you move and you're powerful and you're mighty. And now would you use that might and that power and that authority to make what I think should happen, happen? Anybody, you'd be honest and you'd say, I like it when God does what I think. Nobody? Nobody? Yes, oh, they're coming. If I wait long enough, they'll show up. There we go. Right? I love it. But God doesn't normally, I would say. Normally, he's not asking, oh, what do you want? I'll change everything, Pastor K, what you want. I'm just going to make it happen. Right? Normally, he's like, hey, would you line up with what I want? Would you line up? Because if you do what I've called you to do, if you are who I've called you to be, then your life is going to be joyful and you're going to be able to experience amazing and powerful things. If you just kind of tag on and Sunday morning is fun and it's all right, and we have some relationship, friendship, it's good. It's fine. But God's not asking us to live a fine life. He's asking us to lock in to who he is and take the word of God, take what he speaks to our life and not say, ah, we'll see what happens, but to get it. He doesn't have to say, I told you already. I told you to do. I told you to get up and to act. I told you to share me with your friends or your family. I told you to pray for the sick. I told you. In fact, Pastor Rachel and I, when we were some of our first shirts, when we were youth pastors here. So that would have been like 8 years ago now somehow. But one of them, it was red. I still have one. Somehow it looks new still. It says, stop praying, start obeying. First of all, I'm not asking anybody, don't stop praying, right? Please don't. Keep praying. But stop praying about the things he's already told you so on. He already told you to do it, so we don't need to pray, Lord, should I share you or should I just act like I don't know you? We don't need to pray about that. Now, we could pray, Lord, today, give me the inway. How do I get this? How do I get your message out? How do I pray for somebody? We can pray for wisdom and how, but not, Lord, should I? Should I share you? Should I act like you? Should I get in your word? Should I let your word become how I live? We don't need to pray about these things because he's already told us so. And in this, we see a few things that he told us. Boiling it down, he told us that death leads to life. Death leads to life. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. He was making it clear the cross was not some inconvenience. It wasn't some problem or some little persecution. It wasn't something that had to be endured. But the cross, death leading to life, was the whole entire point of him coming to this earth. And I feel like in our lives, it's easy to say, well, I don't like death. And obviously, none of us like physical death. We don't want, if you're the disciples, we can understand how that would have been a terrible moment. In our own life, if you experience death of a loved one or a family member, obviously that's terrible. But when it comes to our spirit and it comes to what God wants to do, we need to be to recognize that just like Jesus died to bring us life, he suffered, but he came back. That there's things in our life that we need to give to God. And it may be that it feels like a death inside of us. There's times when we have to offer him. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes it's sin. And we need to say, I need this to die in my life, and I need new life. So I need that gone. And Lord, what are you going to fill it with? Like that's easy. But there's other times when even some of those ambitions that we mentioned, that we have to allow God to get rid of things that are good but not best so that we can die to those and come into new life. In fact, that's the whole thing of what Jesus has done for us, what he did when we look at the communion table, is he died so we could have life, so that we can die to ourselves, and so we can have true life. In fact, our baptismal right over here, the reason that we baptize and what it represents is people who have died to their sin and their fallen nature, that we put them down in the water and quickly we bring them up to new life. Because they're no longer sinners. They're no longer people that are bound by sin and death and disease. But now they are whole in God and who he has them to be. Death. It leads to life. I think I can hear Jesus once again saying, I told you so. There's some things today that most of us, we could pinpoint in our lives. That if I had a little death in an area of my life, something that's not healthy, it's going to be a whole lot better. And I think God this morning would say, right before we're about to get to the ascension, going into heaven, the last thing, if he had one more thing to say, is let death lead to life in you. Get rid of the stuff that does not need to be. Let my death and resurrection wash those things away and begin to walk in me and in who I am. And who I have you to be. When I think of this, think of being Christians. Kingsley Emanuel said, persecution for Christians is not a possibility, it's a promise. It's not a maybe, it's a surely. Following Jesus can mean finding the trouble you've been looking for. And as I got this, and you might think, does that even fit in this moment? I think there's so many times as humans we're a little bit rebellious. Anybody you'd say I'm a little rebellious? There's a few more honest ones than that one. The rest of you are probably not telling the truth. Maybe, I won't judge you, but you're not telling the truth. We're a little bit rebellious. And as I've been thinking, and this quote just kind of has stuck with me, that how often are we kind of looking for just a little bit of trouble? Now, right up here in the young adult and the youth section, especially youth section, somehow, especially children's section, especially like five-year-old section, you're looking for trouble. Chandler walks around our house looking for trouble. They were at Grandma and Grandpa's a couple of days this week. They're glorifying the Lord. That's the truth. And we're looking for trouble. And I believe that when we let death lead to life in Jesus, that means we're walking a Christian life where we're going to see persecution of some sort. Thankfully, in America, it doesn't mean we're being put to death. Praise God, that is really great. But we might lose a friend, or we might have trouble at our job if we do what God's telling us to do. We might have an issue, there might be persecution. And all of a sudden, is it possible that God has set it up that we follow him, we walk in him, and all the trouble we could possibly need can be wrapped up in dying to ourselves and coming to life in him and then sharing that life with the world. And you might say, that sounds negative. And I'm saying, get rid of all the other trouble in your life. Die to it. And come alive to Jesus, and I will gladly take persecution. I will gladly take someone coming against me because of who he is in my life. I will gladly experience the goodness of God. Let that be the only trouble in my life, and I'm going to have a pretty awesome life. And when we think of missions, I believe that's what missionaries do. That's what people on mission do, is they go and they look for trouble. They go to the bush of Africa. They go to wherever it is in the world. And literally, where we're going to be taking a missions trip in September, sometimes they literally have like machetes and are like chopping through just to get to a village, to get a vehicle, to be able to drive through. And in Africa, it's really cool. They don't drive on roads out there because there aren't roads out there in the middle of nowhere. They just drive. So if there's a bush area and they can't drive the car through, they chop it out so they can. And they're looking for trouble. And then they pull up to a village that's never heard the message of the gospel ever. And they're trying to do what? Turn everything that those people ever knew on its head. Because they want to share the message of Jesus. That they experienced Jesus. And all of a sudden their witch doctors no longer have authority because the power of God reveals true authority. What happens when we look for trouble in death leading to life? And my dead things of my life being gone, and all of a sudden I'm truly on mission for God. Whew, come on. It gets way more fun and way more exciting when that's how I'm living. When I'm looking for trouble because I'm looking for every single person to share Jesus with. And I'm no longer doing dumb stuff that hurts me or hurts others around me. I'm not living a life of sin because I don't have time for sin because I'm living for Jesus. I've died to that junk and I've got new life. In me. As he continues on, death leads to life. I told you so. The truth must be proclaimed. It said in that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. To all nations, it must be proclaimed. From the very beginning, the Old Testament scripture had to be fulfilled in Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection. But the Old Testament went much further than only that. Speaking of repentance and forgiveness of sins. But that it would be for everyone. From the very beginning, the plan was to have Jesus come and that the message of the gospel would be proclaimed to everyone. It's our job. The truth must be proclaimed. And I never, ever, ever want to be an individual or a church where if Jesus stops by, he's got to say, I told you to minister to the lost. I told you to proclaim the message to all nations. I told you to go and to give and to pray. I never want him to be able to say that. But instead, my prayer on a personal and a church level is that when Jesus stops by, when the Holy Spirit is visiting with us, there is a power and a presence because we're already doing it. We're walking in it. And that doesn't mean he can't just dump a little more of his spirit on us, give us a little more wisdom, a little more guidance to do it, to walk in power and to walk in authority. But I want him to say, come on, you're doing an awesome, awesome job. Now, I'm going to empower you. Go see what happens when you raise somebody from the dead or when someone's leg grows back out or whatever crazy thing that we see all through the Bible. But are we living it? Are we walking it? Are we acting as he said? Is the truth that must be proclaimed being poured forth from you? Or are we just kind of doing our own thing? Maybe even every once in a while giving a check to a missionary or to missions, but not really doing it. I pray that we are doing it. The reason many fail to joyfully proclaim Jesus Christ is because deep down they fail to joyfully adore him. And I believe there's something so true. If you look at your life and there's not been a drive to proclaim him, a drive to encourage someone around you, a drive to see the world be better and in a better place because Jesus is here, it's time to ask him, Lord, would you help me to adore you like I've never adored you before? Lord, would you help me to adore you like I once did? But let's even go farther than that. An adoration that never stops, that I'll never give in, I'll never give up. I'm going to be all in. I'm going to proclaim you because I adore you and I can't stop talking about you. A few years ago at a young adult retreat, My wife and I, we had with actually Adam Ward, a younger guy that grew up kind of in the church as young, or led young adults and youth stuff. When I was here, he was leading us. It was awesome. But we came up with this crazy idea to name our young adult retreat The Birth of Stupid. That is what we called the retreat. That was like the title. And there were a lot of people who, probably some of you still, who hated that. And you're like, why do you have to bring that up? I had forgotten. I had forgiven you or something. But The Birth of Stupid. And people came to this retreat. It was one of our biggest ones we ever had. But they're like, what in the world? And we talked about, there's something about when you just fall in love with someone, that all of your friends, your family, sometimes your decisions, they're stupid. Like you're looking at the person like, that's stupid. What's wrong with you? What happened to you? Why are you acting like this? 6 months ago, you did not act like that. You weren't like, anybody ever known someone that fell into deep like, and then they were just crazy? That person's everything. Anybody ever know them? There's only a few. There's more, I think. Yes, you really know somebody, right? People can change. There can be a birth of almost stupid in them, of excitement. And we were saying at that retreat, we want stupid, if that's what we're going to call it, to rise up. We are crazy for God, and we don't care what anybody calls us, what anybody thinks about us, what anybody says about us. We are all in to proclaim the message of the gospel because we love Jesus that much. And love like that doesn't just happen. It doesn't just kind of show up. Love that is adoration, that is everything, that's just fully encompassing. Guess what? Young people, some of you have it right now really bad, and Pastor Christian doesn't like it. Makes his job much more difficult, right? There's something you think about that person every moment of every day. That's just the reality of it. You think about them. You want to be with them. And what happens when we let God be that thing in our life that we want to be with him? We can't wait to get back to church on Sunday morning, but not only Sunday morning. That's just when we get to do it as a celebration. But on Monday, I'm in the Word. On Monday afternoon, I'm spending time in prayer during my break. On Monday evening, before I go home from work, I'm praying and believing with someone. What happens when at night I'm praying with my kids or I call somebody, hey, look what the Bible just said. What happens when it happens on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday? And all of a sudden, all we can think about is the Word of God and how the Word of God will transform the lives of people on the cubicle right next to mine. And that's everything, that God is adored, that we love him. Then the truth will be proclaimed because you can no longer hide the fact that he's everything in your life. You can't hide it. Just like some of our students can't hide that they really like the person that they like in the moment. Right? Just like you've seen those. God wants to do mighty things. But we have to truly, joyfully adore our Savior. He says, I told you, death leads to life. I told you the truth must be proclaimed. And I told you, I am sending you. And I'm so thankful that God, when he sends us, doesn't just say, good luck, you're out of the boat, go make it happen, walk on water and hope that everything works. But he told them to get up. He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait on the promise of the Father. It says, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Matthew, the same similar portion of scripture, tells them to go and make disciples of all nations. It tells them to go. It tells them to do it. He's telling them to go. He's telling them to proclaim the goodness of God. In fact, just a few verses later in Acts, if we go chronologically, they're in Acts chapter 1, verses 8, and they're told to go make disciples. They're told to go, not just where they are, not in their community, but all around the world. And then it takes them 8 chapters, because in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, persecution comes upon them, and finally they go. Why did they go? Because they were just obedient? We're really stubborn people, aren't we? They didn't just go because they were told to. They went because persecution came, and they either were going to die where they were, or they would go and share Jesus. And at that point, they said, I think I should share Jesus. Like it became easy. But what happens when the people of God listen to the word of God and say, I've been sent. I've been told to go make disciples, starting in my home, in my community, in my city, in my state, in my country, all around the world. What happens when we jump into the things of God and make it happen? The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of missions. And the nearer we get to him, the more intensely missionary we become. And today it's time for the church to become intensely missionary. It's time for you to be a missionary of the gospel wherever you are, in whatever you do, in all things, to become who God has called you to be. And it's time to let the Spirit of God be poured out upon us as a church and as a people. We made it through these awesome words. God has done some super cool things. Jesus is on the move. Then in verse 50, it says, and he led them out as far as Bethany. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. First of all, he lifted up his hands. He's showing, I died. I did it. One more reminder. One more reminder. We've had 40 days. In fact, 40 days that you don't hear of persecution. You don't hear of anybody trying to stone him. The scribes and Pharisees are just gone all of a sudden. It's kind of like, what do we do with someone we kill and bring back to life? I'm going to leave that guy alone because what's going to happen next time, right? This is impossible. They left him alone. I think it's a little sign of a new earth someday when God's walking and nobody, there's nothing to come against him. Because at that point, they figured there's nothing that's going to come. But he says, one more reminder. I died. I gave everything. Here's my nail-scarred hands. By my stripes, you are healed. You're made whole. You are well. I told you so. Death leads to life. I told you so. The truth must be proclaimed. I told you. I'm sending you. And now it's time. I'm going to go into heaven. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. When Jesus pours out a blessing, there's no power in heaven or earth or hell that can reverse that blessing that he's poured out. There's no blessing I want to receive besides the one that Jesus pours out in my life. No stuff, no things, no people. I want the blessing of God to be poured out. I want those nail-scarred hands to be the covering over my life, that he's paid the price. He's already done it. He's already won the victory. He's saying, this is really important. This is it. This is the last thing that I'm going to do, is I'm going to bless you. I'm going to send you out. I'm going to tell you the truth must be proclaimed. I'm going to tell you die to yourself, because I died for your sin and your life. To bring new life. I told you so. This is important. Now go and do it. We see that the disciples, they worshiped. They worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's time for us, it's time for you and me to give Jesus the honor that's due to him. Not on Sunday morning during worship time, although that's a good time to do it, but all the time with our life. To honor Jesus, because he's due more than we could ever even try to give him. Let's honor and praise him. It says they returned to Jerusalem. They were obedient to do what he said. He told them to go. They went. They waited on the promise of the Holy Spirit. They were in the upper room for 10 days waiting and praying. And when you don't know how long you're going to wait, like now, if you know, it's a 10-day conference. May, you and I, we could get together at a 10-day conference. That'd be pretty great, wouldn't it? But when you don't know how long you're waiting, 10 days might feel like an eternity. But they waited. They were obedient. They were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we mentioned, it took a little bit of nudging, but persecution came, and finally they went out and proclaimed to the world who Jesus was. They got it. They were obedient. They went and did what God has called us to do. And we need to be obedient to simply do what he says. Not what I want, not what I think, not what I want to happen in my own self, but Lord, what do you want to do in me? I'm going to do it. I'm going to be obedient because you're God. You're so much bigger, stronger, smarter than anything I got. I'm going to walk in you. And they did it with great joy. Great joy sounds good. And in fact, I believe there's some folks in the room that if you're real with yourself right now, you need a little bit of joy to pop up in your life. It's time for you to simply say, I'm going to walk in you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to be obedient. And Lord, would you let some of that great joy pour out on me? If you're having trouble with depression or anxiety, it's time not to look to all the other means. And those can be helpful. But it's time to, when it comes right down to it, to let the goodness and the joy of God rise in us, because our Jesus is in heaven. He's interceding for you. He's interceding for us. He's interceding for our world. He's there. And we can walk in joy knowing it. So let's do it. Let's walk out of the joy of your belief, which means you've got to lock that belief down. You've got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I can tell you something. There's nothing more secure in my life over anything I've ever done than that Jesus loves, he cares, and he loves each and every one of you. And thankfully, he loves me when I mess up, when I do something stupid. Somehow, the creator of the universe is standing there, reaching his hand down to pick me up when I'm dumb, when I sin, when I fall. He's there. And the closer we get to him, the less we do stupid things, because we're experiencing him and his heart. We get to walk out of joy in him. The last thing is, it says they were continually in the temple. They were blessing God. They were in a public place. They were taking their worship out of a church. In their day, it was a little different how it was. The temple was a little different set up because everyone wasn't Christians like they were. They didn't have the knowledge of Jesus just quite yet. When they went to the temple, they were taking Jesus to their world. They were making a difference. And today, if we're going to be missions-minded people, we have to take the message of the gospel to our world. We simply have to make our following of Jesus public. Be a public follower of Jesus. I think it is so cool that we're in the middle of a new session of life groups. We've now been a month and a half or so. And 2 weeks ago, we had our first outreach where the sermons and their group went to international friendships and made food and served international students and got to make a difference there. I think 2 weeks ago at the McLean's house, they had some people from work, some people that they invited to come and be a part of what we're calling InReach. Just come in. They played a game, Scum, which is about one person winning and everyone else losing, basically. So a great game for a small group. Really, really fun. Really, really easy. And they had friends that came from work. They just need the love of Jesus. And it's so cool when the people of the church do outreach, just go out and serve, and when the people of the church invite others into our lives. That's missions. That's missions. That's what we are called to do. John Wesley, he said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. And that is our job as Christians, is to take the message of the gospel and to take it around the world, to let the world see and know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we have to fall in love with our God. We've got to be all in for who he is and what he wants to do. We're going to, in a few minutes, come and we're just going to worship at the altar right where you are. We're going to worship and proclaim the goodness of God. We're going to lift up adoration and praise to him. But before we do, this month, we're going to be doing some, I believe, special things. We've mentioned it in the past, but we are now starting real, legitimate signups. We have a missions trip that we're going to be going to Tanzania, Africa, September 19th. We're going to be going, and I am looking for 20 people that would say, I'm going to give my time. You might have to give vacation weeks, obviously. You might even, I don't know how God will do it. You might have to give unpaid vacation weeks if you don't have 2 weeks lying around. But I believe that God is calling 20 people because that's our limit. And we want to take 10 to 12 people that will go. We're going to be building a school. In fact, they can throw the video behind us. We're talking about going way out in the bush in Africa, way out. We're going to be setting up a tent city just like that. That we are going to make a difference in a village. Not a village that has hotel rooms and running water that doesn't come out of that big tub that you saw. But we're going to go in the middle of nowhere and share Jesus with some people that may have never heard the message of the gospel before. Which, to me, can't get any more exciting than that. The message of the gospel. And we need 10 to 12 that would go. We're going to be building a school. Once the school gets up to 6 rooms, and our goal is to build half of that, to build 3 of those rooms. Then the government will call that a basically a licensed school. and all of the kids from all of the villages within miles will come to that school, and it will be run by Christians. It'll be a Christian school, and they'll hear about the message of Jesus over and over and over again. And we're going to work with our hands to provide a school where this village and these villages can have an opportunity to experience Jesus. And then the other 8 or 10 people on the group, we're going to go and we're going to do vacation Bible schools. We're going to go village to village and experience what God has. Right here, you can see a bunch of people at a gathering. We're going to do stuff just like that. And we're going to lift up the name of Jesus to proclaim who he is. And so I'm praying for 20 people that would say, we're going to figure out how to make it happen. I'm going to go with you. If you've never been to Africa, maybe you've never tent camped, Pastor Dave and I, we are pros at tent camping. We've done it a lot. In fact, as a kid, we might have camped like a year of our life, I bet, by now. Probably pretty close. It's a blast. They're going to have everything. The company that we'll use, there was a car up there, Axe something, Axe Africa. And we need you. So I don't care where you come from, if you've ever been on a missions trip, if you are someone, would you pray about, and next week, the following week, or radiant.family, you're going to be able to sign up. Today, you can sign up. Talk to me. Call me, text me. I'd love to get you more information. A part of that is we're going to be raising money. The next 2 weeks, we're going to take offerings to believe to raise $30,000, $45,000 to be able to pay for the school, to pay for what's going to happen there. When we put a school there, the missionaries say it will completely transform this community. All of a sudden, it'll be the nicest building. Their kids will be able to eat and have those things at the school. And it happens over and over and again that almost the whole village, the whole villages will give their life to Jesus. We're going to raise $45,000. I'm asking some people to pray about. Would you be willing to give $1,000? Or maybe some $10,000? I don't know, in the room. Some of you, maybe it's $100, and that would be like the $10,000 gift from somebody else. And you say, I want to sacrifice. I want to give to bless these people in Africa. And there's some other church that's blessing a church in South America. And there's some other church that's blessing a church in India or a people. Because we, as the body, the community, we have to reach our world for Jesus. Next 2 weeks, we're going to be taking that offering. I would encourage you to pray. Ask God, what is it that we could do? And the third thing is, we're going to be taking mission faith promises. And those faith promises are not that money for the school. That's a different thing. But weekly or monthly giving to missions. Pastor Rachel and I, every single week, automatically out of our bank account, money goes. Money goes. And I'm going to ask every single person, if you call Radiant Life Church your home, to give consistently to missions. From a dollar to maybe $1,000 a month. I don't know. Whatever God has blessed you with to do. There was a time when there was a young lady that was giving $10,000 a month to missions. That's pretty exciting. If God blesses you to do that, do what God has called you to do. From a buck a week to 100 a week to whatever he would call. What is it that God wants you to do? And I believe that when we're obedient, when we fall in love with him, these things just are natural. It is my favorite part of my check that gets to go to missions every single week. I get a look at it. It still went. It still went. Every Monday, it still went. It's still there. And we are in the middle of kind of starting a little side hustle, a little business. And guess what that means? We're going to start giving more to missions. And it couldn't make me more excited than making that amount on our check bigger than it was last week. Because there's nothing more important than getting the message of the gospel, of praying, of giving, and of going. So right now, if all over this room, if we could stand to our feet, we're going to take the last 5 minutes of our time together. We're going to worship. We're going to ask him to move. Maybe one of these areas this morning, maybe God will speak that you're called to go on a missions trip you never thought you would. It's time to get a passport. It's time to make it happen. If so, let's do it. Young adults, I'm going to be with you guys on Friday night. I believe there's a bunch of you that you have no clue how it's going to happen. But I believe there's some of you that God is going to call to this missions trip, and we're going to have fun going to Africa. Adults, from youngest to oldest, let's see what God will say to give next week to this Africa opportunity, and then to be a monthly, a weekly contributor to the kingdom of God. Before we do, if every person in the place would bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here today and you say, I do not know this Jesus, the one that gave his life for me, the one that died on a cross for me, and I want to turn from my sin. I want to turn from who I was, even came in this room, and I want to walk away forgiven. I want to repent of my sin and be made whole. then I'm going to ask you all over this room, if that's you, and you say, I can't leave, He's knocking on the heart, the door of my heart, would you just raise your hand in this place? I want to see your hand. You can put it up, put it right back down. Anybody in this place that you'd say, today, I want to give my life to Jesus. Anybody, I don't want to miss you. The greatest opportunity, the greatest thing. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Awesome. Let's pray together as a family. With, if you would all, repeat after me. And if you just raised your hand, mean it in your heart. And today you walk out a new person today. Repeat after me. Dear Lord, I thank you for dying for me, but rising again to bring death to life, to bring sin to forgiveness. So forgive me today of all my sin. Make me new. I come to you. I want to walk in you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And amen. Well, right now, we're going to take 5 minutes. And I encourage you, would you find a place to pray? Would maybe you come and kneel at the altar this morning? In fact, would our pastor's board of ministry, would you make your way to the front? Find a place to pray up here. If you want someone to pray for you, would you stand directly behind one of the altars? Put your toes right on the edge of the altar. If you do that, then we're going to pray, or you kneel at that altar, we're going to come and pray for you. If you need healing in your body, of sickness, of any disease, of anything, or you just want God to move, we're going to take 5 minutes. We're going to worship, and let's let adoration of the Lord rise up within us today. Lord, we worship you. Guide us. Let us hear from you today. Let us be more like the word missionally, God. Let us be more in love with you and the power of who you are today, that you never need to tell us, I told you so. Because, Lord, we're in tune with you. We're hearing you. We are locked in to what you're doing and who you are, God.